Oh, say, can you hear the state of energy? That's who we are. My name is Rand DeWitt, along with a man that Uncle Sam calls for fashion advice. Lots of reds, whites, and blues. Tom Clark.
Wow.
Executive director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And do you think that we need to explain who Uncle Sam is?
Probably. I mean, jeez.
No. You know what? If you don't know who Uncle Sam is, you need to find the nearest mirror. Go to that mirror, look yourself deep in the eyes, and as hard as you can, slap yourself in the face. Then go Google Uncle Sam.
It makes you wonder, though, huh? You know? How many people, I mean, because Independence Day, 4th of July, like a lot of people are just like, oh, it's just another day off.
Yeah, you know, it's, well, we're here to educate folks because we are in this magical month of July. You know, Independence Day really kicks off the summer. I mean, we're all in.
Yep.
We're rolling. And we are fully into summer mode. But before we dive into it, we need to thank the folks at Mopeka, Tom.
Well, it is summertime, and if you're gonna get out there and start grilling, maybe it was some 4th of July shenanigans, maybe just a weekend adventure out camping. You better make sure that you got plenty of propane in your tank, right? What a better tool to double check how much gas is in your propane tank by using the Mopeka ProCheck.
Very cool. I mean, it's so easy. It's so small. It just clips on the bottom of your tank. And it gives you the app on your phone, tells you exactly how much propane you have. Doesn't matter if it's a, you know, something for grilling at home on the barbecue or even industrial tanks, more than 90,000 gallons.
These things are cool. They're cool. And I wish I would have had them. Many, many times have I ran out of propane while I was grilling. And I wish I would have had one of these to make sure I checked my level before I got started with the party.
Yeah, Mopeka, they have a portfolio of award-winning and patented sonar, mobile, and cloud-based services, along with solutions that can help all liquid-based firms, including propane, butane, water, and other liquid commodities, better manage existing volumes and streamline supply chain management, meaning keeping more money in your pocket. So find out more about how Mopeka can help, and definitely check out that Mopeka Pro. That's very cool. You can go to Mopeka.
I hope these guys are paying us, because that was a long commercial.
You're the one that told me that. We have to actually have them back on. These guys are great. We need to have the guys at Mopeka back on.
I think this is a good example of why you should sponsor the State of Energy, right? Because
yes,
we're gonna blast you for like the first 3 minutes of our show. So
because like Mopeka, we are accuracy above everything. Go to Mopeka.com, M-O-P-E-K-A.com. You could also go to thestateofenergy.com. So you can find a where to buy button, where propane is located near you by simply using your zip code. Also past shows, some rebates. And we're on Instagram at the State of Energy. But we are in summer mode. And Tom, did you know that fireworks put pollutants into the air?
I can't believe that. You know, the 4th of July is always, it's such a great time of year, and you get to see all those fireworks all over the different cities, and the next day you wake up to a nasty cloud of dirty emissions.
I thought you were gonna say hangover.
A hangover and some nasty emissions that you have to breathe for the next couple days or couple weeks or even. Can you imagine that the 4th of July is creating some type of global warming or climate change?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, for evidence of this, you need to look no further than the air quality index data captured in four major cities on July 4th in both 2021 and 2022. And needless to say, Los Angeles on Independence Day after the fireworks reached emergency level, meaning hazardous range that could cause heart or lung damage even after short periods of exposure. And these same hazardous levels were still in the air the next day. Same thing with D.C. and Chicago. And New York was actually the third most polluted city in the world for several hours on July 4th and 5th of 21 and 22. And the weird thing is, even though it was the most polluted, it actually smelled better on those days.
here's the thing that I just can't get over is we're doing this voluntarily, and everybody loves fireworks, right? It's kind of like
they're a blast.
You're not going to get rid of the fireworks, But how many different, like, oh, let's say vehicles, how many vehicles would you need to take off the road to offset the emissions from your fireworks? How many gas stoves do you think we need to take away from people to eliminate,
offset the fireworks?
I mean, geez, man, some of the things that we do to try to say we're going to cut emissions. And the gas stove thing just really irks me because it's kind of like it's a choice to be able to cook with propane, clean propane.
Right.
And yet we go out and party and light fireworks and nobody seems to care what kind of emissions and breathing problems and all sorts of health problems that come with the fireworks. And I did a little bit of research in here, and there's a bunch of different numbers that are thrown all over the place, anywhere from 120,000 pounds of carbon to 60,000 pounds of CO2.
Now we're going to get into the carbon footprint of fireworks with Tom.
Yeah, I mean, can you what a great topic for the summertime. It's hot. The air quality is bad from all of this emissions, and yet we're still thinking about ways to reduce our emissions from either, you know, trying to clean up the environment. So what can we do to do that? We could just cut fireworks out completely. That, you know, that's not going to happen.
Well, that and stop using so much coal to produce electricity and use more propane, which is more clean, affordable, and abundant.
Apparently, it would take about somewhere between 20,000 to 30,000 vehicles. You'd have to remove 20,000 to 30,000 gas-powered vehicles off the road in order to offset those emissions from the 4th of July fireworks.
So we have to remove 30,000 cars so we can enjoy the celebration of our country's birth.
Disney does this every day, so yes. I don't know how many cars.
And they put about 20,000 to 30,000 cars in that structure over there. It's very true.
It's just wild to think that, you know, we're doing all these different things to help reduce emissions, and then we go out and celebrate and just dump this emissions into the air. But everybody loves it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm gonna go watch fireworks.
Well, no, out here in Redondo Beach, they actually just announced that they're not going to do the fireworks because there's a new standard that they're trying to force them into using biodegradable fireworks.
Drones
is a great idea, but there is so much that was going into the water. They would have to have every piece of plastic or paper removed from the Redondo Beach pier area by the next morning, or the fines would be astronomical. So they just canceled the fireworks.
Yeah. There's a ton of other waste or emissions that go in with the fireworks, not just lighting them off. There's so much other bad things that come from the fireworks, from the trash and all the other emissions that makes the colors in the air. There's a whole bunch of other nasty stuff that goes on while trying to produce fireworks. But kicking off this summer season, I mean, it's also a great time to get out in your go camping. If you're gonna have a fire pit when you're camping, or you're gonna go RVing.
Right. You gotta prep for RV safety.
Do you have an RV?
I don't. I just rent. Actually, what happens is that we go glamping. So if we're going somewhere, we just show up and like our RV is just parked there. And then when we leave.
How many RVs do you think there are in the United States?
200,000.
Nope, way off. There's over 11 million.
11 million?
11 million people that own an RV, let alone all these rentals and all the rest of them out there. So when you think about how many just RVs are out there, and most of these guys, if you own an RV, unless you're one of the people that live in this thing full time, most likely that thing's been sitting all winter long, and you're gonna bust it out and go camping, right?
Yeah, but you'd got to do some checking.
You've got to do some checking.
Do you know how many RV fires occur annually in the United States?
Ooh, a lot. I bet there's a lot.
Over 2,000 fires.
2,000 RVs catch on fire annually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. How do you keep that from happening?
Well, first of all, we have some help from the National Park Service. Good tea up there, Tom. That was very well done. RV fires can start when your RV is moving or when it's parked. And these following steps from the National Park Service can help you recognize the most common fire hazards. Number one, I mean, it's just, you get, like with anything else, you got to make a pre-trip checklist. You got to inspect the RV every time you throw. You need to have a standard checklist.
And not just like going through your propane stuff. You got to check the whole thing, right? Tires, brakes, all those things.
Wires. Because you're going down the road and the RV, you know, it bounces around a little bit and that can loosen up wiring.
Yeah.
And then smoke detectors. I mean, I think like what, 8 in 10 that they inspected when they were doing some kind of random surveys, either their smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors were either removed or had no batteries.
Oh, batteries. I bet that's a big one. Yeah. Because how often do you check your batteries in your RV? Your smoke detector batteries.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us, it'll start going off in the middle of the night and you'll want to go back to sleep. So you'll just get up and take out the battery so you can go back to sleep.
Yank it off the wall and just throw it away.
And they also recommend you have 3 fire extinguishers with your RV. One in the kitchen, one in the bedroom, and one outside in an unlocked compartment or in your tow vehicle. And you have to make sure that every traveler that's with you knows where they're located and how to use them.
Nice. So one of those things, you know, when you're using a fire extinguisher, like if you don't know how to use it, you're all gonna go to waste. So you'll be wishing that you didn't waste that. So kind of like figure out how to use your fire extinguisher too. Because if you use it the wrong way, or if you go to grab it and what if it's not even charged? Like maybe you should double check that.
Yeah, you gotta check the gauges. Yeah, and they are fun to test. You know, a friend of mine, we got into a fire extinguisher fight once. It was quite fun.
So what about a propane fire on an RV? I mean, because that's possible. There's a bazillion ways an RV could catch on fire, right?
Right.
Electrical. There's just so many different things going on in an RV.
Well, yeah, a damp charcoal, if you just get it sitting in there, that stuff can spontaneously combust.
There you go. But an RV uses a ton of propane,
right?
Because it's such a great fuel source for over the road camping, off grid stuff. So just think about all the things that your RV could run on propane. You could have your furnace, because obviously you're going to try to go up into the mountains where it's a little bit cooler. So you've got a furnace to check. You're going to want some type of hot water to take a shower.
Mm-hmm. Agua caliente.
So you've got some type of propane powered water heater on your RV. You need to check that out. You might have, you most likely have a cooktop stove in your RV.
And you're going to want to use your electric trimmer on your beard.
So you're going to have a generator. Most likely your generator probably runs on propane. What else? A refrigerator.
Yes.
Did you know that the refrigerators in the RVs, most of those are some type of propane powered?
Actually, I did know that. Some guy by the name of Tom Clark told me that once in Reno. We had that conversation.
It's kind of amazing how propane can run a refrigerator. And I'm not talking about making electricity to run your refrigerator. I'm talking about he actually uses the heat source to make the refrigeration.
It's a pretty cool
device.
It is kind of fun when you tell people about that and they look at you like, you know, the puppy that's not sure what's going on with their head cocked to the side.
Yeah. Well, RVs use a lot of propane. Get your RV tank inspected by your propane company. Get it topped off. Make sure that everything is shipshape before you head out on the road so that you have a nice safe family adventure over the summer. And you definitely don't want to be one of these statistics of 2,000 different RVs that catch on fire every year. So do your part and keep your family safe.
Yeah, and the peace of mind that you'll have. If you just get a legit checklist and you go over everything, check everything, it just takes a level of just stress off your shoulders, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good way to do it. And then actually my favorite one that they have here on the list of things to do and not to do from the National Park Service with RVs is never re-enter a burning RV to retrieve anything.
Nothing? Not even like my phone or nothing?
No. Oh, it says big letters, get out and stay out.
Do not re-enter. Oh, right. If your RV is on fire, do not go back in.
Yeah, the closet in my bedroom's on fire. Hold on, I need to get those shoes. Yeah, that doesn't work. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name's Rand DeWitt. You can find out more about how propane can improve your life, improve your wallet, and just make you generally happier by going to thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. And we're in it, Tom. It's grilling season is rolling.
Yes, it is.
It is rolling. And what are you going to be grilling this weekend? Do you have anything that?
Well, I do have a freezer still that's full of halibut and salmon from last year's Alaskan fishing trip. So I think I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to try to get rid of some of it.
Those are very exotic ice cubes you have.
Yes, exactly. They're taking up some valuable space in this freezer. We got to get rid of this stuff before it goes bad. But I did buy these cedar planks, and you soak them in water, and then you throw that on the grill, and you prep the salmon on the cedar planks, and then you can grill it on your propane powered grill. So it's I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be great. Our director Tony is inviting us over to his palatial estate where he's got a very cool pool, and apparently we're going to have some lamb. And some prime rib.
Lamb.
Looking forward to that.
That sounds delicious. I'm sorry I didn't get the invite.
You did. Oh, that's right.
You did.
You know what? You didn't check your spam. You got to check your spam, Tom. That's what you have to do. Something that's real. Number one, when it comes to grilling, though, make sure, keep your tank and your grill away from the house. Make sure there's no overhangs.
Yep.
But number one, it's really easy to do. With just some soapy water, is check for leaks.
Yeah, we talked about this. We talk about this every once in a while, but since we're in the middle of this grilling season, for sure, make yourself up some dish soap and water, squirt it on all of your propane fittings, and make sure you don't have any leaks, because you definitely don't want to be catch your grill on fire at your house. That'd be terrible.
And also, make sure you follow proper lighting instructions, because a lot of people are going to be barbecuing for the first time in a year this weekend and next weekend and all the way through the summer. And just don't do the thing where you're leaning over, trying to use a lighter, trying to see how it, if you can get it lit, because you're going to lose your eyebrows.
Did I ever tell you when I lost my eyebrows?
No.
I was young, 18 years old, trying to light a burner. And yeah. I wasn't following the manufacturer's instructions, that's for sure.
Well, what did Papa Clark have to say about that?
Yeah, he wasn't too impressed. But learned my lesson.
Yeah, lesson learned.
Follow manufacturer's instructions.
Yes, and also, it also here mentions making sure if you're going to be having some nice, cooled adult beverages, keep things at a cruising altitude. Let's put it that way. Just keep things at a low cruising altitude. Enjoy it that way.
And stay with your grill.
Yeah.
Stay with your grill. Don't walk away from the grill.
I mean, Mopeka can only do so much with letting you know what's going on with propane. But you have to be present.
That's right.
And don't walk into a burning RV. Don't do that either. What about some other propane products that you're thinking about for summer?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the worst things about summer for me, because I have... I don't know. For some reason, I'm allergic to like bugs. I'm allergic to, I really am. If I get a bee sting, my arm or whatever it is that stings me, it'll swell up. And mosquitoes are the worst for me. If I get mosquito bites, it ruins the whole trip. It ruins the backyard experience. They just, they swell up and they itch like crazy. And I don't know what it is. Some people it doesn't seem to bother, but for me, I get attacked by mosquitoes, and there is a killer looking mosquito propane powered mosquito vacuum machine thing.
The S8 Mosquito Killer Robot. This thing is so looks like something out of MIT. It's awesome. It's carried by mobile root. A mosquito trap is capable of protecting a large area automatically. The Mosquito Killer Robot patrols the area on a predetermined route, splits into segments of about 21 to 33 yards long, stopping after each segment for several hours to attract the adjacent insects. This thing looks really almost kind of creepy.
This is like a military-looking device that goes like a landmine finder or something.
Seriously, think about that device with like a sniper rifle on it.
It uses propane.
Yeah, the robot's running time largely depends on the capacity of the tank that stores the compressed gas used to produce carbon monoxide, which attracts flying insects. Now, here's a propane 101. CO2 is produced from propane, a readily available gas commonly used for fueling barbecue grills.
That's how they explain it.
The
thing looks pretty cool.
Yes. It's very cool. And actually, it's a great idea, especially if you have a large area. This would be great for your place.
No. This thing's on four wheels.
Oh, man, your house is like Versailles.
Yeah, no. I live next to the railroad tracks, the freeway, and a runway. So you can tell where I live. So for an average guy like me, if I can't afford the four-wheel drive robot mosquito control unit, I think there's some other options. We got like the mosquito magnet, which is kind of like this thing's just a 5-gallon bottle on a little cart. Yeah. I could put that out in the corner of my yard, or I could even take it camp and get it away from your campsite, and then it attracts those mosquitoes away from your area.
Oh, the Patriot Plus looks cool.
Patriot Plus or the Mosquito Vac. It's called the Skeeter Vac.
The Skeeter Vac.
The Skeeter Vac. There's actually
double-A baseball team in Louisiana.
There's like 20 of these different devices. The Skeeter Vac is, it says it's the trap has some type of vacuum on it, so they are attracted to the carbon dioxide, and then it they get sucked in there, and then the vacuum sucks them in. So it's I don't know. I think I'm gonna get one. If you're looking to buy me something for my birthday,
okay.
I mean, for next year, you just send me one of these Skeeter Vacs. I would really like to do a review on that.
A Skeeter Vac. Okay, we're going to do this. You know what? Actually, I just want to get you something that says Skeeter in it. I really want to do that. That's really cool. This is some cool stuff here at mosquitomagnet.com. Hey, call us. Actually, you know what we did, though? Actually, in my neighborhood, we have a block of houses where we're all friends. So we got place called Mosquito Squad to come out, and they come out every 3 weeks, and we've been doing it for a couple of months, and they do the spraying, and they put the stuff down the little drains and all that stuff, and I have not seen an insect anywhere on our housing strip anywhere over the past few weeks.
That's they're using chemicals for that.
Well, yeah, and they said that it takes about an hour before you can let the pets out. But that was what I was thinking. I'm not seeing any of them. And I'm like, what kind of napalm am I bathing in here?
That's what's so good about this. You're not using any nasty chemicals. Like this is a natural way to collect these mosquitoes. And you're exactly right. You don't have to worry about letting your pets out. You're like, oh, well, it's been 3 hours. Should we let them out yet? No. I don't want to have to deal with that.
You know, I've got a hand growing out of my forehead now, but aside from that, there's no mosquitoes.
What else is going to happen this summer?
Gas prices are going out. We're going to have rolling blackouts. Those are on the way.
So one more item to add to your summer arsenal for propane appliances.
Generator.
Backup generator.
What do you have? Do you have a Generac?
I have the Generac 9KW. And the reason why I only need 9KW is because I got... already got a gas-powered stove, gas-powered dryer, gas-powered fireplace. I don't need a whole bunch of electricity. I need a small generator.
Okay, wait a minute. The White House is listening, and they just sent me a text. It says Tom's under arrest.
He has too many gas-powered items.
Yes, you are the problem.
Hey, man, when the power goes out, you've seen this report, you've seen this ECOT, not, no, maybe it's not ECOT, what is it? This is This is the NERC, the National American Electric Reliability Corporation, basically says almost all of the Western United States is elevated or high risk for a blackout this summer.
And that is so crazy. It doesn't have to be this way. We're not anti-electric, hydro, solar, wind. We don't have to move in this direction so fast. We can utilize propane. It's here. It's affordable. It's clean. It's abundant. And you don't need coal, as much coal, to run your house if you're using a lot of propane. I mean, we all like electricity. We all need electricity.
Yeah.
But we just are running so far in that direction so fast. Things are just unstable and really expensive because we've moved too far too fast when we don't have to, when we've got propane sitting here ready to help.
And if you're worried about being part of some of these blackouts, get yourself a propane powered generator, protect your family, protect your business, and have that energy reliability that you're looking for.
Energy security. Energy independence.
Oh, there you go.
That is Tom Clark, Executive Director of Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.